We have a guest speaker today from Youth for Christ, Dane Tornell. He's a neighbor, lives across the street, just a couple houses from where I live. And more than that, he's a brother in the Lord, and the Lord has really blessed his ministry here in Douglas County. So, Dane, come on up here and share with us God's word today. I think he's going to have you in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And before he speaks to you, let me just have another word of prayer.
Thanks.
All right. Father, thank you for the wonderful privilege that we have of your truth in our hands today. And we pray, Lord, that it would sink deep into our hearts, that you would have your way. And as we just sang, that our hearts would be surrendered to you, that everything that we have would be yours. We know that's the great privilege, to lay our own lives, our bodies as living sacrifices on the altar before you. So, Lord, help us to obey your word as we think of your mercy towards us, that we would respond that way. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thanks.
Yep.
Off and back on again. There it is. Did I come on? Oh, there it is. All right. I hear a bit of an echo. Well, thank you. Again, it's a honor to be here, but that's what the guest speaker is supposed to say, right? I traveled a long way to get here. I drove 4 minutes. It's an honor to be here, not because you guys, I guess, give permission, or Mike says, hey, come preach, and I get to be here, but it's an honor because I get to take God's word and the responsibility of taking God's word and to bring it to brothers and sisters in Christ as for the purpose of encouraging you, equipping you, giving you maybe some inspiration, some, you know, something that the Spirit of God would just say, you, brother in Christ, you, sister in Christ, go therefore into all the world and make disciples. So that's the honor that a pastor gets to have on this stage. So I'm going to be talking about Youth for Christ, but I'm going to be diving us into the Word of God as well. I'm just a normal guy, like a lot of you. I grew up in Creswell, Oregon, in a unique spot where I was surrounded by hundreds of cattle and horses. There was my neighbor had 20 horses, so I grew up doing that. I don't do that anymore, although I love steak and horsepower, if that... So I do love those things, but I grew up as a contractor's son. So my dad was building houses from the point I could remember, and I think from the age of about 5 years old, I was on job sites with him picking up blocks of wood and sweeping sawdust and learning how to build homes. And so I got the privilege of getting to do that with my dad, and it'll be a memory that I will take to my grave, all the wonderful times that I spent with him. But I'm just like you. I get frustrated with my wife. You know, I have arguments. I get angry with my children sometimes. I doubt the path that I've chosen in life. I doubt the decisions that I make. I struggle with sin, just as we all do. So I'm like you. And fortunately, I've got the grace of God, just like you have the grace of God. So why do I bring that all to you? Well, we're going to be talking about the gospel and everything today. But before I do that, let me introduce you to my family. I have two wonderful daughters and one other one. And I'm just kidding. Vienna, why don't you stand up? This is my middle daughter, Vienna. She's one of the loves of my life and one of the good ones. I also have a 6-year-old golden doodle. Don't laugh at me about my golden doodle. I will punch you in the throat. I love my dog. I don't have a picture of her, unfortunately, because she's nonstop movement, so every picture I have of her is blurry anyway. So, but yeah, those are my girls. My wife and I have been married for 21 years. We were actually together in high school as boyfriend and girlfriend. She was the girl down the road from the other rival school, and I knew the day that I thought this girl has real potential was the day we were playing for the state championship or the league championships, my school against her school. She was wearing my Letterman's jacket, sitting with her friends. So it was the red and white Letterman's jacket amongst all this green and blue. And I just thought to myself, now there's a girl that's respectable, willing to do that. So I married her. Pretty awesome. A lot of adventures together. I just recently got hired. You can be in prayer for this because the vision is great and it is going to be difficult. But I recently got hired as the girls' varsity basketball coach at Roseburg High School. So my vision in that is that I can surround young ladies all the way down to as low as the third grade level with coaches that love Jesus that happen to also love basketball. So as you can imagine, the strategery that goes into building, I'm going to use this word lightly, but an empire of the gospel in basketball. So that fits in a little bit to with the sermon today, as I'll demonstrate here as we move on. You saw this logo here a second ago. Give life to your story. Well, what does that mean, to give life to our story? And what does that have to do with this sermon title of the gospel and everything? Well, let me encourage you, brothers and sisters, that we have got to see Jesus in every aspect of our life. And I say every aspect of our life because it's got to be every aspect of our life. I think a lot of us could raise our hand and say, well, I see Jesus in my eternity. But do you see Jesus in your retirement? Do you see Jesus in your work? How about in your family? Do you see Jesus in being a daughter, Vienna? Do you see Jesus in being my daughter? How about being a father or a mother to your children? Do you see Jesus in that role that you play there? And let's take this even further. Do you see Jesus in your hobbies or in your recreation? So the gospel in everything means we see Jesus in everything. We're going to expand on that a little bit. But every one of us in this room have some kind of a story that involves Jesus coming into some point of your life that he's written his story upon you. Every one of you that claim Jesus as Lord can come stand up on this stage and give some kind of a testimony about Jesus' work and influence in your life. And those of you that are older can look back and see all the different pieces in life where you just think, man, that had to have been God. Am I right? Amen? Yeah. Yeah, everybody's got that story. Every breath we take, every move we make, Jesus. Yeah. If I were to say, I understand this is a tradition here at this church, but if I were to ask you, our friend said, folks, we're going to say the Pledge of Allegiance or sing the Star-Spangled Banner. What would your natural reaction, physical reaction do? Anybody? Stand, right? Because we're citizens of the United States of America, and we honor that. I understand that you guys stand when you read the Word of God. And I think that's totally awesome because the Word of God tells us first that we're citizens of who? Where? We're citizens of heaven first, and then we get to be citizens here. So if you'd stand with me, we'll read some scripture together here. And this is the backbone of the sermon today. It says, therefore, I want you to understand that no one speaking in the Spirit of God ever says Jesus is accursed, and no one can say Jesus is Lord, except in the Holy Spirit. Now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of service, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who empowers them all in everyone. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. Heavenly Father, we would just ask in Jesus' name that you would potentially renew our heart and our mind to a different kind of thinking today, a thinking that says that I see Jesus in every aspect of my life. Lord, if there's a place in our life where we are saying we want nothing to do with you in that, maybe it's my job, maybe it's my hobbies, Maybe it's the way I eat or drink. Maybe it is, Lord, if we are not seeing Jesus in everything, Lord, I pray that that would happen today, that we leave this place refreshed in the Spirit and refreshed with the Word of God. Amen. Well, please be seated. So I'm the executive director of Youth for Christ. That's not really that fancy of a title. It just means that I've been working with Youth for Christ for a long time and somebody gave me a job. That's what it means to be the executive director. We're going to get into that a little bit more, but when you work for a not-for-profit, there's always a mission statement. This is ours. If you are an English teacher, I apologize. This is the mission statement for Youth for Christ USA, so I didn't write this, but it says, YFC reaches young people everywhere, working together with the local church and other like-minded partners to raise up lifelong followers of Jesus who, lead by their godliness and lifestyle, devotion to the Word of God and prayer, passion for sharing the love of Christ, and commitment to social involvement. I'm convinced that the Apostle Paul wrote that. It's just a lot of commas, never ends. But that's our mission statement. We're going to take a look real quick at this word here. It's a little dark to read, but the everywhere real quick, because many people don't know that Youth for Christ is huge. When I say huge, I mean worldwide huge. When I moved here about 7 years ago, most people had heard of the name Campus Life before, but had no idea that what Youth for Christ was. Youth for Christ was started a long time ago by this fella. A lot of you guys recognize that face. He and a bunch of gentlemen were traveling all over the world, mostly to U.S. military bases on foreign countries, doing huge big tent revivals. Of course, Billy Graham and his group of brothers and sisters brought that back into the United States. It soon established in 1942 what we know of today as Youth for Christ. Billy Graham was the first director of Youth for Christ. We are in, can you guys see that okay? We are in 130-plus countries. I believe that number now is about 135, so I should probably change my slide. But that's a lot of countries that Youth for Christ is in around the world. And within that, there's 550 different locations that are kind of centrally managed, if you will, that then send missionaries out in those countries to proclaim the gospel, not just to youth, but to families. But in the United States, we do things just a little bit differently. Here, we are one country, but we are split up in 2,000-plus different locations, one of those locations being Douglas County. Whew, okay, so that was a mouthful, right? But in Douglas County, one of those 2,000-plus locations, we have an executive director, that's me. We have our own board, we have our own staff, we manage all of our own finances. So we're a franchise of sorts here. We have the national covering of Youth for Christ USA as far as liability insurance, curriculums, structure, training, that kind of thing. But we are our own autonomous unit here in Douglas County. Is that pretty clear? Okay, so the advantages that gives us is an independent board that's made up of your friends and family that are around this county, manage Youth for Christ in Douglas County. We have all of our own resources. 96.5% of every dollar that's raised for Umpqua Valley Youth for Christ stays here. So what happens to the other 3.5%? That goes to pay for a national umbrella liability policy so we can do anything that we can possibly imagine with young people except for fly drones with cameras on them and jump out of private aircraft. Those are the only two things that we're not supposed to do with kids. So that I do those anyway. Just kidding. We do have a mentor actually that works with drones with young people. I just tell them to please leave the cameras off the drones. So I can go into that later. But anyway, so that 3.5% is what pays for that national coverage of our own liability policy, $1.5 million on every young person that we work with. And that means, because of that, I can insure my staff and my, listen carefully, my volunteers, your vehicle, your boat, your home, your business location. I can put a liability policy on your things. So if something happens to a kid in your car, Youth for Christ becomes the primary liability holder on that thing, on that vehicle. So pretty neat, right? I don't think there's any other parachurch organization in the world that's structured like we are to be able to protect our people and our kids. Because we are managed here, which is one of the reasons I love Youth for Christ, I'm going to get into a little bit here why things I don't. But one of the things I love is that the board and the executive director and the staff determine how ministry is pushed out in our county. It's ridiculous to me to think that if we had a central agency in, say, New York City, that they would have any kind of influence or say on how we reach young people here in Douglas County or in Roseburg area. Can you imagine? We're a very different culture here, guys. I don't know if you know that. Just travel 60 miles up the freeway, hang out in South Eugene for a while, you're going to realize that we are very different down here. All right? So that's one of the reasons that I love what we do, is because we can reach kids how we need to reach kids and their families down here. Okay, so the vision you're going to have to wait for. Just a minute. I'm going to get in a little bit to how we function or the things that we have available. Campus Life is the high school division of Youth for Christ. So if you look at Youth for Christ as this giant umbrella, Campus Life is underneath. That's works with our kids on our campuses. We're on 7 campuses in Douglas County right now. And we have just brought on a young man who has actually gone through the Campus Life system. His name is Keaton Blocker. When he graduates from college, he'll be full-time minister of the gospel. His primary role will be building relationships with school administration in every school in Douglas County to get Campus Life on campus. Now, there's some young people here today that are a part of the Campus Life program, and that is Bible studies on our public school campuses. So when I say 7, we have 7 schools right now that have Bible studies on campus during school. Amen? That's pretty exciting, yeah. And so his job, Keaton's job, stop clapping, I'm busy. Keaton's job will be to develop and to grow those campus lives throughout the county until we're in every single school. So I'm going to keep moving quickly here. So Campus Life Middle School, same thing, we're on middle schools. City Life, I'm going to bring Yaku up here. City Life is, I'm just going to let him explain it. So Yaku has come. This is Yaku Kotsia. I am super proud of this. Not like... maybe like a parent, like I'm glad you moved out of the house or the basement and you changed your underwear. Not that kind of proud. I'm proud because here's a young man with a family who has said, I am a minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ, and that comes with a lot of hardship, financial strain, persecution. He flies this banner of Youth for Christ everywhere he goes. And believe it or not, folks, there's people that don't like us. They don't want us doing what we're doing. And so he's taken on that banner and said, I love Jesus, I love young people, and I want to share the gospel with them. So Yaku's going to share a little bit about what City Life is.
So in 2015, 30 eighth graders that had just graduated were tracked. They weren't doing well in school. They were actually failing. Their grades were bad and their behavior was bad. 2 years later, in 2017, Rose School started. Rose School is taking over Rose Elementary, and it's turning into an alternative school to help meet a need because these kids were struggling. And the reason these kids were struggling is because some of them were sleeping outside. Some of their mom's boyfriends were kicking them out of the house and beating them. And some of these kids are struggling with parents who have addictions and to drugs. And some of these kids themselves are struggling with drugs, some who have tried methamphetamine at the age of 12. And so these are the kids that we would say are maybe the forgotten, or, hey, look at that kid, he looks like nothing but trouble. And our community, you know, we naturally tend to look at those kids and almost want to judge them. But those kids are broken and hurting kids. And so City Life, we try to reach those kids. And one of the best places that we can do that is where they have to go, because you know it's the place, it's the only place that's going to feed them. And Rose School is a school that's doubling in size this next year. We had 30 this past year. It'll be 60, potentially 60 plus this year that's coming. It'll probably double again the next year because the need for our at-risk kids to have a stable adult in their lives is growing. Well, the need's growing because there's more and more kids whose parents are falling and struggling. So City Life, we engage those kids. We pursue them where they are. And right now, Rose School is a place, and you guys are going to see maybe a picture of Matthew Spangler up there. And I don't think we can replace that guy.
As you guys know well.
He came there, he listened to the kids, some of them just quietly sitting in the back of the room talking to him, breaking down sometimes and just saying, man, my life sucks sometimes, but Matthew was there. And it's so awesome to have some support there. So we need people that are going to come alongside these kids, whether you're going to be a stable adult to a group of kids as a site leader, or whether you're going to say, man, I'm going to take one kid and pull him into my life. And we started this bike outreach, which is awesome and it's fun, but it's just to model what we should be doing as the church, enjoying our hobby, our passion, our interest, but inviting these kids who don't have a dad or don't have a mom into them. And that's what City Life is. We just want to get at-risk kids a stable adult in their lives through passions and hobbies.
Whew. Thank you. Give him a hand. That's all right. That's all right. Yaku is passionate about what he does, and he's a pro. He's pro level at what he does. He's very tired right now. He has been on a whirlwind of activity from early morning to late evening here for about the last week and a half, it seems like, working massive amount of hours. And I got to witness some of his kids doing their thing. Yaku's teaching young men who really have no direction, no purpose in their life, how to become successful in wrenching on bicycles, how to build, maintain, fix, and bless people with the skills that they're learning how to do. So Yaku's everywhere, just doing a fantastic job. Maybe you've seen Big Blue. It's an old van that we've got with a really, really beautiful new trailer behind it. It says Youth for Christ, Umpqua Valley Bike Outreach. It's a mobile bike shop. Right now we're raising some funds through some different things. Car Wash, Dale Farmer just blessed us with every dollar that came through the door through three car washes towards a bigger, more powerful van to be able to pull this big trailer full of kids and bikes all over the place. So a lot of neat things going on there to just give some kids a little bit of success in their life. And it's amazing what happens, Yaku could attest, when a kid all of a sudden realizes that they can be productive, that they can work with their hands and they can produce something. Huh? It's almost like Proverbs has some truth to it, right? Yeah. Carol Sherwood, she's not able to be here tonight. She runs our Parent Life program. It reaches expectant and parenting teens and their children. And I've got a corny video I threw together for you.
Hi, I'm Dane. I'm preaching today with you, the same guy. This is Parent Life, core ministry of Youth for Christ USA. And I am with...
Carol Sherwood, Director of Parent Life.
Carol Sherwood, Director of Parent Life. What is Parent Life?
Parent Life is an outreach to teen parents and their children, so pregnant and parenting teens, and it's in Douglas County, and we serve any teen.
So what kind of things do you do with them, Carol Sherwood, of Parent Life, of Youth for Christ of Umpqua Valley?
Well, that's a great question, Dane, because we do all kinds of things. It just depends on what they need. First of all, we start to find out who they are, what they need, where they are in their lives, and then if they have needs for their children, for themselves, food, baby clothes, strollers, car seats, anything like that. Those are all things that we can provide for them. Also, rides to doctor's appointments or other appointments, WIC appointments. And also a great variety of resources that we can connect them with.
What about Jesus? Jesus!
about Jesus. To Jesus about them. No, that was not good.
Cut!
Cut!
Cut, cut!
See if I can scramble my cut. Words and speak to Jesus about them. We do that too.
Take two.
That they don't know care what we know unless they know that we care for them.
What do you need right now?
It kind of depends on how you're looking at that. As far as physical needs that we have for the ministry itself, we would love to get a van so we can transport the girls. We always need baby clothes, donations toward our resources so that we can purchase things that we don't have. And then as well as we always need volunteers, especially male volunteers to come alongside the daddies.
Jesus!
Can you show me maybe some resources that you have right now?
Well, as you can see, we have had a lot of donations of clothing. Any number of them can go out at any different time. And we have diapers on the backside.
Jesus!
Here, so we've got quite a few things there. It looks like a disaster back here because there's so many things. However, the need is great. So we always want to make sure that we have things that we can get to for the parents.
So she comes alongside parents and babies, and like she said, in a myriad of different ways. She has things that happen usually every month, month and a half, where all the young moms are coming together and meeting for, they do clothing swaps, they do dinners, Bible studies. She does a great job, but as you can imagine, it's quite laborious with all the transportation vehicle needs. I didn't even fathom this when we got started, how difficult it would be to run a parent life function at a location when you're thinking about, hey, I'm picking up 8 girls and their babies. Ooh, I need a bus. Like, it's not a, you know, it's not just your standard, hey, can I borrow your Suburban real quick? We don't fit. Pretty difficult, but wonderful ministry. We have contact with about 10 of the young boys that are involved in this relationship as well. So one of my roles is to help those boys move along and look for work, how to be a dad, those kind of things. So pretty fun. A lot going on there. So moving on here, YFC Core. This is, you can read it, Relational Evangelism, Living and Teaching the Three-Story Lifestyle. So we do things like we have Wednesday morning at My Coffee where we're studying the Word of God, and then teaching the young people how to be disciple-making disciples with the Word, whatever we're reading. So really purpose-driven Bible study. Juvenile Justice Ministry, of course, Yaku through City Life is kind of the manager of making that run. And then these are some other core ministries around the United States that are, Deaf Teen Quest. YFC Military, called Club Beyond, is now gone due to some legislation through the Obama administration that has made the Bible now an illegal thing to have on a U.S. military base. Believe it or not, let me encourage you, friends, anytime Christians are under persecution, what happens? We thrive, right? Which is what's happening on our U.S. military bases. Youth for Christ International, or the club YFC Military, has now gone underground. We're reaching more kids today than we ever have in the history since that legislation's got passed. So bring it! I love it. Unified Underground is essentially a ministers of the gospel. These guys are no hair, full of tattoos, living on the street with gang activity, bringing the gospel to that culture. World Outreach recruits, trains, and sends Christians, U.S. citizens who have a heart and calling for youth ministry around to those 130-plus countries. YFC Camp, this is something that that I do. I work with the area local churches. Your church has actually been a part of this many, many times in the past, where I do all the logistics to allow your youth pastor and your kids to be able to come, have a great time. I take care of the camp, the food, the equipment, all that kind of stuff to allow camps to happen. We actually have one in August 24th through 26th. The youth pastors around here have decided that we actually want to do a camp out, like intense camping. So I rented Whistler's Bend, and we are going to have a camp out the 24th through the 26th. And this is an in-depth Bible study. We're not messing around and playing a lot of games. We're going to have some fun, but we're going to get into the Word together. We have a regional-ish type training. It's combined with Eugene, Youth for Christ. We'll be up at Camp Harlow September 14th through 16th, doing essentially a discipleship training, real kind of brass tacks, reaching our young people in our culture. How many of you could raise your hand right now and say, teenagers scare you to death? Yeah, it does me. Sometimes I'm just like, I'm not that old. I'm 43, but I'm having conversations and they're saying things that I don't understand. So this is what that's for. It really does help. So moving on. Now we can get to the vision of Youth for Christ. What is our vision here? Well, this vision, unfortunately, came out of a frustration that I was having. I was working in Eugene. I was with Youth for Christ in Eugene for 15 years, and I was done. I was burnt out. I was tired of doing full-time ministry, and I got a really random phone call from David Brink. A lot of you guys know that name. He used to be the board chairman here for this local chapter, and he asked me to come down and share with Youth for Christ here, who was really struggling at the time to get anything going. What would you do if you were the executive director, or if you could run things here? What would you do? So I just came down as, okay, I'll come help. So I got on my motorcycle, I rode down here. We started this conversation, and I was just frustrated. I said, well, why don't you just read the Bible? I actually said that to the board. Why don't you just read the Bible? It makes it real clear on what you're supposed to do. Really kind of a pissy attitude is what it, I was not in a good place. And I says, the Bible tells us really clear, teach these new disciples to obey all the commands that I've given you. Now, we know that verse, right? You guys know the verse, the Great Suggestion? It's the Great Commission. We know that, but how? What are the practical applications to that? What I wasn't seeing was the teach part, because I'd grown up in a culture that had done some things really poorly. And folks, I'm responsible for this. 15 years in Youth for Christ, the only model of ministry that I understood was big lights, loud music, tons of pizza, and then a little story about Jesus at the end. Have a nice day. That's the culture I taught in. Well, I was done with it. In 15 years, you can imagine I start seeing results of what that kind of ministry produces. It produces a lot of apathetic, lazy, behind-the-scenes people who claim Christ but don't know Jesus worth anything. They don't open their Bible on a daily basis. I wasn't a disciple making disciple. I was an entertainer with Jesus' name attached to it. So I sat down with the board and we looked at this mission statement, and this part popped out at me. Working together with the local church and other like-minded partners to raise up lifelong followers of Jesus. That smacked me in the face at that point in time where I said, I don't know that this is happening anywhere in Youth for Christ. What I'm seeing is a bunch of real charismatic, good-looking, fun area directors, executive directors putting on a great show. How are we connecting with the local church? So I share with the board, my vision here would be that the ministry is the local church. Youth for Christ needs to be serving the local church, equipping its people, the local people, with how to be disciple-making disciples, no different than a pastor should be doing every Sunday when they get up here and preach, equipping committed followers of Christ. We have different abilities and different hats that we're able to put on to allow the body of believers to enter into this dark, lost world. I'm really good at building relationships with principals. I'm really good at gaining access to public facilities that say, no, Jesus is allowed here. That's what I'm good at. And then now ushering the local church to replace me to be able to step in and own the ministry in those places. Does that make sense? But we weren't doing that. was all about me. It was all about me looking good. So the vision started to become very clear that I wanted to train up the people of the church to do the ministry of the gospel. And that comes out of here. You've heard this verse in 2 Timothy 2:1-5. You then, my child, be strengthened by the grace that is in Jesus. And what you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. I put the rest of the verse on there because I think that's important that we read. But the Bible makes it pretty clear on how church leadership should function, right? Through that verse. Everybody see it? We got to develop people. Right now, Youth for Christ is sitting on about 40 volunteers. These are people who have made that decision in their life that I'm going to invest in one young person. But we need a lot of help in a lot of different ways. You heard from Yaku. Matt Spangler was his number one guy. And you heard that quick story. Matt's not here anymore. Folks, Dane Tornell can only reach so many kids. Think about this with me real quick. What if I spent 60 hours a week and gave every kid an hour? How many kids can I reach? School time. 60. Is that possible? There's no way. There's no way I could reach 60 kids with 1 hour a week. Yet that's what our emergent church philosophy has done. You hire a youth pastor here, and you think that they're going to go and save the entire community around you because they're good-looking, charismatic, can run the calendar, can plan a trip to Mexico, can buy all the food and the you're kidding yourselves. It's not going to happen. Yet that's what we've created as a youth ministry model idea. If you guys could, real quick, open up your Bibles to me to the section of the scripture where it talks about youth ministry. Everybody know? It's a really famous section. Oh, it's not in there? Sorry about the sarcasm. I'm trying to make a point. You are the youth pastors. Every one of you in here. The position is important to facilitate and grow you as the body of believers to be discipling your young people. How many disciples did Jesus have? Before you answer, think it through. How many did he have? The smart ones in here will say 12. The really smart ones will say 11. The super smart ones will say how many? So Jesus Christ, at the foundations of the world, giving all the powers and authority by God, poured himself into how many? Yet you're going to hire a youth pastor to reach 60? Do you see the problem here? Christianity isn't designed for you as an individual to reach 60 people. The Holy Spirit works in and through each one of you so that you can reach one, and then the next one, and then the next one. That's God's design. We screw it up when we say, youth pastor, go fix our kids. We screw it up when parents, you say, my kid's having a problem, I'm calling Dane. Dane will fix them. Dane will give them to Yaku. Yaku will definitely fix them. Wrong. Wrong. That hurt a little bit? Yeah, it does me every day. I get phone calls every day from parents who are believers in Jesus Christ who say, my kid is screwed up. Can you help? I absolutely can help, but let me ask you about you. What's going on inside of your heart right now? I'm done. You're done, huh? Can't handle it anymore. Yeah, can't handle my kid anymore. I was like, you mean like when Jesus gave up on you? How many of you have had Jesus give up on you before? Any raised hands in here? Press on. Press on then. The vision right now is that by year 2025, and again, this is just a number I'm throwing out because this is God's deal, but by 2025 that we're in every high school, every public high school and middle school in Douglas County. That every kid on every public school campus would have the opportunity to hear about Jesus. And what we create through that, hopefully, is kids that start to seek God, who then lead by their godliness and lifestyle, devotion to the Word of God and prayer, passion for sharing the love of Christ, and commitment to social involvement. But folks, how is that supposed to happen? The other goal is by 2013 that every 11 to 19-year-old in Douglas County be engaged with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Is this possible? Every young person? We're talking potentially 9,000 to 11,000-ish kids that fit that demographic to be engaged with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Is this possible? I hope you say yes. Come on, folks. I hope you say yes. Thank you. But how in the world would that ever happen? Is it going to be because Dane Tornell is the executive director of Youth for Christ? No, I'm just a piece. I'm just a piece. The only way that this is going to happen, the only way that we're going to raise up those kind of life-committed followers of Christ is if everybody in our local community says, I'll take one. I'll disciple one kid. So where does this start? Starts right here. You, friends, brothers and sisters of Christ, you have to know who you are first. You are not an American first. You are a child of who? The Most High God. You're a child of God. Co-heirs with Christ, fully equipped for the gospel, fully equipped with everything you need to give to somebody who doesn't know Christ. Now, I know what you're thinking right now. Some of you who are seasoned-er type folks, that's a word. I just made it up. It's in the Urban Dictionary. You're thinking to yourself, I'm tired. I'm wore out. I've lived this life. Lord, take me home. I get it. I understand. But there's somebody in this room right now who needs your help. So maybe it's not an 11 to 19-year-old. Maybe it's a 50-year-old young person who needs your discipleship. I know that I do. I really value older folks that pour into me and question the decisions that I make and how I operate and how I talk and how I, all those kind of things to help me be a better man, a greater man. My dad is 75 years old, probably one of the greatest evangelists that have ever walked this face of the earth. Have you ever heard the name Ron Tornell? Oh, you haven't? Has probably brought more people to Jesus than all of us combined in this room. He walks with a limp. He's kind of like a gangster. He can't even get out of bed in the morning. He's got every part in his body has been replaced with some kind of plastic or metal. And he says, I'm not done till the Lord takes me home. So what's your excuse? Why can't you pour into somebody in this room with everything that you've got? Why? Because Satan doesn't want you to. So who's going to win today? Who's going to win when you get out of bed this morning or tomorrow morning? Go to somebody today and say, let's have coffee. Let's go have lunch. Let's talk about Jesus together. Would you do that? Imagine what happens to Melrose Community Church. You can get more chairs. That's what's going to happen to Melrose Community Church. Let me show you how easy this is. We look at back at this 1 Corinthians verse. It says, now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit, and there are varieties of service, but the same Lord, and there are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who empowers them all and everyone. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for who? The common good. Who's the common good? The church, body of believers, the big church, so all of Douglas County potentially. Oh, it's all coming together. So there are varieties of services, but the same Lord, and there are varieties of activities. Now, if you know your Bible well, you'll know that this section of Scripture is during this educational process, if you will, about spiritual gifts. And then all of a sudden, Paul kind of takes a little pause right here, and he throws a sentence in here, which really has thrown me for a lot of years, and has actually become the push or the vision of what Youth for Christ is in Douglas County is right here. And I'm gonna give you an example right now. I want somebody who I have don't know. How about you, sir? Come on up stage with me right here. Can we turn this mic on, the green? So we're gonna do a little experiment here. This is the Melrose Church social experiment. Hello, sir. Hello. What is your name? Because I don't know. They might, but
Dennis Burrow.
Dennis Burrow. Okay, Dennis. So I'm gonna ask you just a simple question here. So what are you? Okay, so you have 5 hours to do anything that you want with no persecution. I hope it's clean. But you can do anything that you want. What would you choose to do? Like fun. I'm going to go have fun. Dennis is having fun.
I'm going to go fishing.
You're going to go fishing.
Yes.
Why would you do that?
Because I enjoy it.
I hate fishing.
That's you.
Oh, is it?
That's you.
Really? Is there anybody else here that likes fishing? Look at all those weirdos. That's amazing. So there are other people in this church that like fishing. What kind of fishing do you like, Dennis? Let's get specific here.
Any kind of fishing.
Oh, so if it swims, you're catching it.
Yeah.
Is there anybody else in here, raise your hand and everybody else look around, that love fishing for anything that kind of swims around in the water? Look at all those people. Now, do you guys know Jesus that raised your hand?
Yes.
You do? Do you know that Dennis, do you know Jesus?
Yes, I do.
You love Jesus?
I love Jesus.
Do you know that Dennis loves Jesus? So you love Jesus and fishing. Dennis loves Jesus and fishing. What? That's crazy. So you guys could probably hang out together. You're going to go fishing anyway. You might as well put somebody who doesn't know Jesus in your boat and have a little church service.
That's true.
Oh, shoot. Now everybody's seen you up here on stage and knows that you like fishing. You got some ministry to do, brother.
Yes, I do. A lot.
Thank you. So, give him a hand because he's normal. So we run that little experiment with Dennis, but folks, he's no different than every one of you. Now, the folks that raise your hand, you're a church. I don't like fishing. Dennis says, I'm not you. Exactly. That's the beauty of God's creation, us. He's not me. I'm not going fishing. I don't want to have anything to do with fishing, but you do. Those that raise your hand, you're going to go fishing anyway. Bring somebody who doesn't know the Lord. Teach them how to fish. Uh-oh. Teach a man to fish with the gospel of Jesus Christ. So what's your passion? Let's stand up. Stand up. I shall be. You're okay. Keep going. Nice. Nice job. Good. Nice job. Oh no! Yeah! Here you go, now turn your wheel down the hill. Lean that way with your body. There you go. And turn and roll. And pull your clutch in. There you go. Have a kid. There you go, and pop your clutch. That's amazing. Oh boy, oh boy. Well, that was a moist day. Pretty fun, right? Exactly. See? She said no. So that's what I love doing. I ride dirt bikes. I've been riding since I was a little kid. I ride once to twice a week. I've got a shop full of amazing tools, and all you saw a whole bunch of motorcycles. Teach kids how to ride dirt bikes. That's what I do. I do dirt bikes. Buy dirt bikes, sell dirt bikes, fix dirt bikes, teach kids how to ride dirt bikes. So this is just me living the example of, I'm going to wrench on dirt bikes anyway. I might as well have a kid in my shop teaching them how to wrench on a dirt bike. And guess what? Someday, that kid may be able to have a job fixing dirt bikes, right? We should be doing this with our own kids, your neighbor kid. Teach them how to do something. And through that relationship, that connection that you're having, all of a sudden the gospel comes out, because that's natural, because that's who we are and we're filled with the Holy Spirit. We often put ourselves in this paradigm as like, I have to go and sit in a room with comfy couches, open the Bible, and that's when we talk about Jesus. Do you think that that's what Jesus did? No, we've got all kinds of examples. Walking on the beach, they're sitting in a boat, they were sitting around a campfire, they were on a journey to their next place, right? We have all those examples, but we put ministry in a box, thinking that it's got to be under these roof. No, ministry happens in here because of the power of the Holy Spirit in you. That's where it happens. You're going fishing anyway. Bring somebody who doesn't know the Lord with you. Folks, to reach 9,000 to 10,000 young people is possible, because there's way more believers in Jesus Christ in this county than that. So one person at a time, one kid at a time, the gospel in everything, and we can reach every lost young person in this county. Amen? It can happen. Thank you guys for your support. Melrose has been a part of the ministry of Youth for Christ for a very, very, very long time, way longer than I've been here. Bruce and Sue Ellis started this chapter of Youth for Christ July of 1981. And thank you to people like Dave Brink, John and Diana Colby, that even through the hardest times, having no money, no staff, working with almost zero kids, have stuck in there and said, there's something better on the horizon, we have to keep working. And here we are, reaching somewhere in the realm of 600 kids every week in Douglas County right now. Fathom that number for a second. Because of churches just like you saying, we've got this school, we'll take it over. I can do this. I'm going to do it anyway. Okay? This is how you can get a hold of me personally. Our website is fantastic. If you've never been on it, uvyfc.com. Also, we have a board member who just loves doing this. One of the greatest ways to visually see the ministry happening in Umpqua Valley is to text 33222 in the subject line, write YFC, and no more than twice a month, you get an interactive what's happened, essentially, that month. Live videos of people working with kids, business contact information that support us, like Champion One Car Wash did yesterday or Friday. All the kind of different ways that you start to become connected is all on that text. Comes right to your phone. You can look at it whenever you want. There's links to everything, pictures, all kinds of stuff. So that's right now is the best form of getting the ministry of Youth for Christ out there. But remember, this isn't the ministry of Youth for Christ. Please don't make that mistake. My job is to equip you, the committed followers of Christ, remove barriers, excuses, anything that I can do to help you be disciple-making disciples. Amen? So let us help you. Let us help this church in any way we can in Jesus' name. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this opportunity. We thank you for your gospel, that it pierces our hearts in a special way. Lord, I just pray for each and every person who claims Jesus in this room, that they would be, I guess, like Dennis, they'd be in a place to say, you know what? The things that I love are Jesus, is Jesus. God has given me this unique design. I love to fish. I love to ride motorcycles. I love music. I love the hardest kid out there that's just going to cuss or spit in my face. That's who I love. You've created us unique, all for the glory of the common good. Lord, it doesn't matter what we do. Help us in Jesus' name to see the truth of Jesus in everything that we do. Every breath we take is yours, and we give you thanks in Jesus' name. Thanks, guys, for having me. Appreciate it. I'll be in the back with Yaku to chat. Don't be that guy or that girl who has to tell me a 35-minute story. There's probably a lot of people that want to talk to Yaku. I love hearing stories, but, where'd it go? It's not on there anymore. Please feel free to get a hold of me. I would love to sit down and have a conversation with you. I love people. I love hearing stories. But we want to help perpetuate the gospel. Life is too short for us not to engage. Let's go. There are young people who don't know Jesus.